Hey everyone, and welcome to Variety Radio Online. I'm Rachel, and on the line with me I have Emily, and today we are talking about the latest episode of Once Upon a Time, which is 6-5 Street Rats, and we finally have gotten Aladdin and Jasmine, who have Cockney accents and occasionally Scottish accents, so I don't know what's going on there, but you know, whatever, I guess.
It is a tad confusing.
And it's also occasionally difficult to kind of understand Aladdin. I saw a lot of people saying, like, but what's he saying?
But what is he saying? That's a good one, yeah. It's a little bit jarring, I guess, to, like, see Aladdin and hear, like, this really British voice come out, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like Will Scarlet, and I was like,
yeah.
What?
I feel like that's their go-to when they bring in new people. It's like, they gotta have a British accent, because for whatever reason, I don't really know. Not gonna complain about it. I haven't really looked into the actor who plays Aladdin, so I don't know if he's British in real life.
He's Turkish and Australian, so no.
So, okay. So apparently whatever his real voice is was like, they're like, nah, we need you to do a little bit more British, less Australian. But yeah, accent aside, it was good to see them finally, after them teasing it every single end of the episode for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
it's good to finally get to it, because they've been promising it for weeks now, so.
Yeah, and I still have not watched Aladdin in full. Oops, my bad. It's not on Netflix.
So for you, it really wasn't a big deal that the backstory was...
Was completely jacked. I know enough about it to know that that was not right.
Okay, but still. I mean, the fact that it wasn't the same doesn't bother me at all, because whatever. I'm not going to sit here and be hung up on details. Like, they're just pulling in characters, and it's whatever. However they can get it to fit into the story is cool. But, yeah, it was really, like, really different. Like, I was like, okay, so there's, yep, okay, that's how they're going to go with it. So, I didn't think it was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any feelings towards it, really, because I didn't watch the original movie. I don't, maybe they're leaving this open so they can do their own little spin on their relationship, since they're both in Storybrooke now. I don't know. I do love all of Emma's little, like, I just watched the movie.
Yeah.
Me too, Emma.
I always love when they have her interject with, well, yeah, I read the book, or yeah, I know the story. Everybody knows the story. And it's obvious whenever she finds out something is totally different than what she thinks it is. It's always entertaining to see her reaction to meeting fairy tale characters that she never assumed were real.
Yeah, I love it. I saw a lot of people saying that I didn't pay enough attention to this episode, honestly. But they were saying they saw a lot of parallels between Tallahassee and the Cave of Wonders.
Yeah, I can see that. I definitely see that. There were a lot of parallels between Emma and Aladdin and the whole thing, and just a lot anyway. So I definitely can see how people would make the connection where, oh, they go on this adventure and they have to trust each other and whatever. And obviously and slightly more favorable for Aladdin in terms of, like, footing with Jasmine than it did with Hook and Emma, because Emma ditched him on a beanstalk, and Jasmine was like, here, I'm going to leave you to fulfill your destiny.
Yeah, a little bit of a different twist.
It was interesting to me that she just left. Like, they went there together, and she just was going to be like, bye, see you later. Okay, I get the whole, like, dramatic unloaded this knowledge on him that he's the savior, which one, how did she even really know that he was going to be magical? Does she have some, like, mystical book of people in her kingdom or something? But the other thing is that when she just left, and then, of course, as soon as she leaves, Jafar shows up. I was like, okay, this seems all, like, very strange to me that she would just leave him there, even though he's pondering a life-altering decision. I just thought it was strange that she was just going to wander on his own.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like it was all kind of a bit off in a way. And we got Jafar, more of Jafar, at least. And he honestly doesn't seem like that big of a villain right now. And obviously, I'm sure we're going to get more. Because we haven't seen what happens to Aladdin between now and the season premiere flashback with him and the tremors and, you know, having to sever his savior powers.
Say that 5 times fast. Sever his saviorness.
Yes. So I'm interested to see what actually pushed him to that edge to make that decision. And from what we saw last night, he seems completely fine with it. Like, yeah, I cut my ties. Whatever. Like, he doesn't seem too bent out of shape about it. And he seems almost kind of happy. But I don't feel like Emma would be able to really... I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of pressure for her as the savior. And I feel like she would be letting people down if she did take the selfish route for once.
Plus, we don't really know how long passed in between Aladdin getting the shears and finding out he has magic to when he gave it up. It could have been a really short amount of time. And obviously, Emma's been dealing with this for like 3 or 4 years. For her, it's a lot more. She's giving up a lot more, which is why I think she was saying to her family, oh, you know, I'm going to accept the price of my magic regardless of what happens, you know, whatever. So I feel like it's more of a bigger loss because, you know, she already went through the whole thing when Elsa was around, the whole accepting her magic and embracing it as a part of herself. And that's how she was able to control it and whatever. So the fact that now when she knows giving it up would be the solution that would save her and, you know, make everything better, supposedly. The fact that she says, no, I know that me giving up my magic is going to not help other people, that she just, no, she didn't even really give it a second thought, that she was just going to accept her fate. I thought that was obviously interesting. And a difference between her and Aladdin, because it seems like Aladdin, kind of just gave it up. Like, we don't know yet, but it seems that he just isn't really all that concerned about the fact that he gave up his... He's ashamed that Agrabah was in danger because of him. He doesn't seem too bent out of shape about it, at least not right now.
The evil queen spilling Emma's secret as Archie, which I didn't get. I don't know what the point of that was or why she, other than just to like meddle, I guess, with their lives.
And how did they not know right off the bat when Archie barges in there and just starts spilling confidential,
this is what pisses me off, because they only use Emma's superpowers when it's convenient for them. Like, she doesn't know at the end of the episode that Hook's lying to her. She didn't know that wasn't Archie and just totally starts going off. Like, whereas before, she, like, with the whole, like, Maleficent and Lily crap, she knew something was off from all of them. And now it's kind of like, because she even mentioned it in this episode, oh, I have a thing with lies. And I'm just like, but you don't right now, because they conveniently forgot that, even though you just said it.
It's weird. It is weird how they treat that, because obviously you'd think that every single time anyone says anything to her, she'd always be looking for a lie. But I guess, the fact that, I guess the Archie thing is a little different, because that, like, outwardly she sees him and she knows that he like thinks she should tell her parents, but the fact that she wouldn't question the fact that he just barged in there. But I guess he didn't really give her time to question why he was there. It was more, he said, Emma has a secret.
And then he, like, he just dipped out.
Yeah, and then he just walked away. And I'm like, okay, does anyone realize he just left? Like, is that not suspicious to anyone? Which, eventually, I think they realized pretty quickly it wasn't Archie. But still, you'd think the second he even brought up the fact that Emma was hiding something, it would have sent red flags. But I guess at that point, it was more about the fact that now everyone knows she's hiding a secret and less about who is the one who is inspiring Archie to say that. It's confusing.
Yeah. So we finally got the spa scene that I don't know if you saw the spoiler pictures of, but I saw the spoilers of. And the fact that they had a Goldilocks, like a full-blown Goldilocks, and literally all we saw was like 2 seconds of her buffing the Evil Queen's nails. I was like, that is a damn waste right there.
I didn't see those pictures, so I wasn't even, when they were in that nail salon, I wasn't even really paying attention to the people that were in there with them. I was just more questioning the fact that, one, where has this nail salon been this entire time? And two, why are they hanging out? And the whole thing, it was very just perplexing to me overall. So I wasn't really paying attention to the details at that point.
Yeah, I don't get what the Evil Queen's purpose is right now. Because really, she's not doing much.
Yeah, I don't understand why she's trying so hard to befriend Xelena. Is it just because she wants somebody else who has magic on her side, or she just wants somebody to be on her side? I don't know. And the fact that Xelena is so just bad, I don't know, it kind of annoys me that she's so, like, I mean, no, I know she's evil, and obviously she's like nowhere near redeemed, so it's not like I'm gonna blame them for pretending that it's not like a Rumple situation where they
Yeah.
she. It's like she's redeemed and she's not. But it's more of, why did they have her try to be good, I guess, or try and like have force this whole like sisters thing when all she's gonna do is just go hang out with the Evil Queen and not even mention to Regina at all, like, or the fact that Regina hasn't given her a second thought in the last like 3 weeks, other than the fact that she knows that the Evil Queen came to see her. You'd think that knowing that would cause like so many red flags with Regina that she would want to try harder to make sure Xelena doesn't go do something stupid, but this whole sisters thing between the two of them, it just seems very forced and unnecessary. I don't
I feel like
understand
they
where the
don't know what to do with Selena's character anymore, honestly.
Yeah, because they made her a regular, and then okay, so that she was a means to an end, you know, she drove a wedge between Robin and Regina, the whole baby thing. Okay, now they killed Robin, and now his child is with her. So what are they gonna do with her? Especially if she decides that she's not gonna have any redemption at all, then she's just gonna be hanging out because she's not gonna be the big bad villain or the person who's always betraying them, because that's Rumple. He's already taken that role. So what's she gonna do? She's just gonna sit around.
And get her nails done and take care of her baby.
Okay. Yeah,
do
I think.
feel I do feel like Archie planted some seeds of doubt in her mind as far as like the Evil Queen kind of like using her in a way. 'Cause there were a few looks on her face and I was kind of like, I think she was kind of questioning the whole sisterly thing with
Yeah.
the Evil Queen versus Regina, but I don't know.
I don't really understand why Xelena is doing the whole showing her daughter who she really is thing with her being wicked. It's hard to tell if she's doing it because she actually wants to be sisters with the Evil Queen and she just wants to embrace her true self, or if she's maybe doing it as a way to keep the Evil Queen on her side for now and then she's gonna turn around and run to Regina and help defeat her. It's very confusing and I really don't understand any of her motivation currently at this point.
Yep, same. She's just there, and I'm just like, all right, why are we wasting minutes on this if you guys don't know what you're doing right now?
True.
I did find it hilarious when Archie was babysitting, though, and was just like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, okay, make yourself useful.
We find out that there are obviously the Fate's Shears, which I'm assuming are the ones meant to be from Hercules,
Yep, I think so.
which just makes me think every time I see them, I think of the three fates, and when they're like trying to cut the string, they're like, "What's wrong with these scissors?" And
Yep.
I just
Which I guess
knew.
is a cool way that they're still keeping ties with like the it's like all this Greek stuff keeps pop Greek mythology stuff keeps popping back up.
Yeah, I like it, and I would see. This is like, I wish we had a lot more from Hercules than what we got. So I
Yeah.
was actually really happy when those popped up. I was like, ooh, I like this. I like this a lot. So they go to some underground crypt place thing where I guess Aladdin's just been chilling for like 28 years or whatever. I don't know.
I don't know if he's been chilling in there for 28 years. I think that he just happened. He wanted to lead them there, so that's why he was there. And then he overheard them talking. I doubt that's where he's been staying the whole time.
No, I'm going with my theory that he just lives in a crypt because he can.
He's just a caveman.
Caveman. Cave of Wonders to Cave of Storybrooke. I don't know. I don't know about you, but that Swan Believer scene just punched me so hard in the feels. It has been so long since we got a scene with Emma and Henry where it was just them and they had like a serious like heart to heart. And I was like, I was tearing up. I was like, no, okay right now.
Yeah, it was very, when she was upset and she said she wanted to be alone, half of me wanted Hook to be the one to go comfort her. But the fact that it was Henry, I think I ended up liking it even more.
Same.
Especially because the fact that he feels so guilty about the fact that, because Henry does the same thing. He did it with Regina when she was dying in the alternate reality or whatever. He was like, well, if I never would have went and got Emma, then I could have just been happy. And this wouldn't have happened. So he's doing kind of the same thing where he thinks, well, if I never would have done what I did, then nothing bad would have happened and blah, blah, blah. So, and especially the fact that Emma took what Archie said in like their therapy, in that she has to enjoy the story and that maybe it's not about the ending, it's about how you live it in between, which I think is a really just powerful thing for them to say about life in general, not even just applied to Storybrooke or fairy tale characters. I just think that's a nice theme and like moral to have. You should just live your life every day and not be worried about where it's going to end. You should worry about living it in the middle. So I like that Emma took her therapy to heart and was able to then, you know, bounce it back out to Henry and comfort him in that way. And I just really liked it.
Yeah, I was in love with that entire scene. And that quote is amazing. But I'm kind of pissed we didn't get a scene between her and Hook, really. And I don't know if they're saving that for an upcoming episode.
They're totally saving it because they wanted to make it so dramatic to where they're going to have this huge kind of
falling out.
Not falling out, but, you know, it's going to come to a head next week because I think the fact that Hook was so, like, he was the one to encourage Archie to keep talking when he said Emma has a secret. So he wants to know more than anybody what's going on. And I think, obviously, Hook is still Hook, so he kind of felt betrayed, especially after the fact that Emma just had this huge, big emotional moment with him, asking him to move in, and he knows how hard that was for her to do, because she's, you know, opens up very slowly. So the fact that now, when she did that, she had this big secret looming over her, he probably questions, like, oh, did she only ask me to move in because there's this, like, life or death situation, just like how she only said I love you when she was facing death. It's probably kind of that whole you can only admit your true feelings to me when we're in turmoil
yes.
thing that they have to work through. So I think it kind of just hurt him to the point where he knew he needed to give her space because he knows her well enough, but it also kind of hurt him to the point where he didn't want to talk about it
with her. Exactly what I was thinking throughout this entire episode once he found out, and he was just so broody and angsty and so sad, and I just wanted to hug him.
All of the cutaways of the sad faces, I was like, when he was walking out of the room and he turned back and she wasn't looking at his face, I was like, stab me in the heart a million times.
Oh, it was horrible. And I think like his entire mind was just going back to the Firebird episode where they said goodbye to each other, like, and they thought that was it, like, that was going to be the last time they
and
saw
now
each other.
He's thinking he's gonna have to say goodbye to her again after he just went through hell literally to get back to her and gave up everything for her. Now he had like this false sense of security thinking that, oh, they're gonna build this life together, and now it might all fall apart. Obviously I think same with Emma needed time to process it and be alone, and I think he needs the same, because obviously...
Yeah, I think he needs time to process it before he says anything.
Yeah. For them, it was probably 2 days ago she just asked him to move in, so it
to have that kind of flipped on your head so soon, I think, yeah, I think he just, it hit him hard. And it's not saying that he, I don't think it's that he doesn't trust her. I feel like they both work through things in the same way, so I'm, like, not going to judge him for not talking to her, and I'm not going to judge her for not telling him, because that this has happened in the reverse. Like, I think they have a level playing field in terms of things that they've done and the way they've reacted to having secrets and other things. So, I don't know. I just am going to let it play out. I'm not going to worry about the fact that they're making it super dramatic, because there's a Hook backstory episode next week, so I know that it's going to play out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I could ever be worried about them, like, not being together.
Oh, not at all.
I think these are just more hurdles that are being thrown at them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of annoying.
You can argue it's annoying or not annoying or whatever, but I think if people are sitting here judging one of them more than the other, I think that's kind of not fair. Because they are both so similar in the way that they react to things that I don't think it's fair to hold one of them to a higher standard than the other, because they're pretty much and it's not really fair to say, oh, well, he, you know, he's doing this and now he's keeping this secret from her and she kept this. It's like, okay, just they're in a relationship. Like, there's ups and downs. You don't, it's not all just going to be perfect. And they're not always going to be, like, 100% with each other. So, I just think people need to just calm down for a second and just let it play out and see what happens.
Exactly. And I think, I honestly think he kept the shears out of fear of losing her.
Yes.
And I don't think he could live with himself if he got rid of the one thing that could possibly save her life. Yes. And I think he's keeping them as a last resort, because I know she said she didn't want to use them, but if it comes down to it, I think, what, I don't know if, like, he could convince her or if she would finally, like, just give in, but I think he just wants her to have the option, because I don't think he could live with losing her again.
Yeah. And then, I think that it goes back to just how when she was going to give up her magic and she didn't know she was walking into a trap. He obviously was trying his best to convince her that she should keep her magic and that he liked that about her. And I think it also parallels the fact that back in Camelot, what she did with him, that, okay, so she loved him so much. She didn't want to lose him, that she did this very drastic thing and making him the Dark One. And obviously that's way on a higher scale of, like, intensity of, like, last resort things than keeping a pair of magical scissors that are going to take away her magic.
Well, see, I'm wondering if it gets to the point where he cuts her saviorness away with, like, in order to save her life,
he's dying, so he cuts away her, or she's gonna die, she's about to get killed, so he cuts it away. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I think you're right that he's holding on to them as a failsafe, because he doesn't want, like you said, he wants to know that if worse comes to worse, he would rather see her alive than
alive, dead. Yeah, alive and hating him for doing that. No magic than
dead, saving everyone else, which is selfish of him, but that's also how she was in Camelot, where she's very selfish and didn't consider the fact that the Dark One was the thing he hated most in the world, and that he would never want to become that. But she eventually, obviously, he was grateful in the end that she did, because he's alive. I think,
to be honest, if we did have to take another trip to the underworld, I would not complain, because Cruella and King Arthur are in charge now, and I would love to have them back.
I would not protest to, even if it was like a mini one episode trip where something happens, but I don't think that's where they're going with this.
I don't either, but I'm just throwing it out
there. Thinking, or if they could just find a way to write Arthur into a backstory somewhere, that would be nice. but yeah, I think Hook keeping them it's more of a, yeah, he would rather, it was his time to be selfish with her and say, no, I'm not going to lose you. And if that means I have to do something that you don't approve of, then I think like I said, it's less drastic than her turning him into the Dark One-ish. It's only slightly less drastic, because taking away her magic is a big thing. Yeah. But the fact that he, you know, he's, yeah, I think it's like a fail-safe, because he knows that if the time came, she might regret losing the, just like when Henry broke the pen, and then he goes, oh, I broke the pen, and now I can't fix everything. It was, it's better to have it and then not use it than to not have it and want to use it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, I think it's just like a fail-safe at this point.
Yeah. I think that pretty much covers most of it. Did you want to talk about anything else?
The one thing was the fact that, well, one, I was happy Emma and Snow finally talked like normal people, because that's been, I feel like they've been avoiding them having conversations, because she's too busy hanging out with Regina and talking to her about things. So I liked the fact that they finally had a conversation, although I was questioning the fact that she was so pushy with Emma about, oh, you're building a life, you know, you shouldn't keep secrets. David and I never keep, okay.
I just burst out laughing at that.
That is such a lie. One, Charming is keeping a secret from you at this moment and you have no idea. Two, hello, Neverland. That was a huge thing. You kept, there's other secrets, I think, that they have kept ish in the past. So the fact that she went to Regina and wanted her to kill her with, back when she killed Cora, and the fact that David, I don't know, something else probably happened that I can't remember
but
right
Snow
now.
Snow lied to him and said she didn't love him and walked away.
Well,
like,
yeah.
There's so, just so many.
Unless she's saying we don't keep secrets because we know that they're bad, because they have turned against us in the past and made things worse, that would have been okay. But the fact that she said we never keep secrets from each other, I'm like, okay. That's a lie. And
it's
that's so not even
funny.
True like, to the story that has happened the last five seasons. There have been so many secrets between them, especially in season 4. Like, oh my god, it was one big secret.
Yeah.
Granted, they were in on the secret together, but still, it was still the same concept. I don't know. That one thing just kind of, I was like, oh yay, Snow and Emma are finally talking, and they're going to have like this mother-daughter bonding, and they're going to maybe have a normal conversation, and then she throws that line in, and I'm like, okay, that was ridiculous.
And I kind of, like, not to hate on Snow, but I feel like she gets very condescending with Emma.
Yeah.
In a way, and judges her a little bit more than she judges Regina, which makes no sense to me at all, but, you know, whatever.
I think it's because they've just neglected their relationship in terms of, like, building it up. Like, sure, they have these, like, outwardly little family moments where it's all of them and, you know, oh, they're eating breakfast or they're doing this, but it's not, like, a deep connection. It's, like, you know, she's gone through all the times where she realizes, oh, I miss my mom and dad and whatever, and she has these, like, emotional reunions with them. But we never get to see them having these conversations, these heart-to-hearts, which you would expect, like she said, you would expect a mother and a daughter to talk about those things, but we never see them, which makes me believe that they don't have those conversations. If Snow was so, not hurt, but just shocked that Emma didn't come to her, it's because she's been too busy being, like, a mom to Regina, or a daughter to Regina, whatever, friend. So it seems like her emotional investment has been elsewhere, and not, and then she has this baby. I just feel like a lot of things and their dynamic need to fall back into place, and it hasn't yet, and I'm, like, waiting for that.
And even if it doesn't fall back in with Snow and Emma, can we get Charming? Some Daddy Charming?
Yeah, at least we have Charming, which I feel like we got with when they were interrogating Jasmine together, and I was like, yes, daddy-daughter cop duo, so exciting. And the fact there's more than one savior. and they're just, yeah, I love Emma and Charming, but I just wish that they would stop neglecting Snow and Emma's relationship, because ever since she found out she was actually her mother, I feel like they rarely have, like, deep conversations anymore. Like, sure, they have the one.
She's definitely an
orphan.
Daddy's
and then
girl.
There have been smaller conversations found out, but I feel like the deep-rooted relationship between the two of them that they had in season 1 got almost, like, erased by the fact, well, I guess in season 2 it was different because they were off in the Enchanted Forest together, and they actually had conversations because they were just getting to know each other as mother and daughter. But yeah, I feel like since she had you know who. I don't want to say his name because I still think it's stupid. Neil. For since they had baby Neil, it seems like obviously their relationship has gotten somewhat neglected, which is unfortunate because they had a really good relationship back in seasons 1 and 2, mostly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's one of those things on this show.
Yeah, we just kind of have to accept it and just let it go.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that pretty much wraps it up. I am so disgustingly excited for next week. It's not even funny. We get Captain Nemo. We get a Hook backstory. We get a wet Hook. So everybody be sure to grab your ponchos.
Yep. And be sure to earplugs, because you'll probably hear Rachel and I both screaming from opposite ends of the country.
Yep.
And wherever you are in the world.
I expect all social media sites to be broken.
No. Broken. Crash the internet.
Break it, guys. Let's Break do this.
We're going to do it.
All right. Be sure to check out our website for more recaps, interviews, and news at thevro.com. We are on Facebook and Twitter at thevro. We are on Instagram, Tumblr, iTunes, and Audioboom. And yeah, we will see you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.